Seattle's got a team. And we've got a show. It's Cody James and with your World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Proud supporters of community and competitive hockey in British Columbia and Alberta. Thanks for taking time out of your Thursday morning. Special show for you. We decided to push it back from the typical Wednesday. Said, hey, they're going to draft a team. We got the schedule coming out tonight. Let's split the difference. Let's go in the middle. We'll recap the draft. We'll preview the schedule. All of that coming up here on World Hockey Report. Got to tell you, it's brought to you by Lord Co. Auto Parts, a Canadian-owned and operated company, proud supporters of community hockey programs. Lord Co. been a household name, community since 1974, and trusted place to shop for aftermarket auto parts, truck accessories, RV supplies, and even camping essentials. After over 85 stores in BC and Alberta, they wanted the cup to come home. Didn't happen. Still, they're cheering for one of the most storied franchises in the league. Visit a Lord Co. Auto Parts location today for knowledgeable service and quality auto parts to learn about the latest in-store promotions, the variety of products and brands available, the range of services offered, or find a store near you. Visit lordco.com. We got a big show for you lined up, and we want to hear back from you. So hit us up in the chat anytime you're watching, anytime you got a thought, any questions you might have. Let us know. About 40 minutes. We'll talk NHL signings. There's a lot of them. Some news breaking on Zach Hyman this morning. We'll dive into that. Adam Larson says bye to Edmonton. He wanted out. 20 minutes. You break down the Seattle Kraken roster. I want your thoughts, top to bottom, everything you're thinking right now. Hit us up on World Hockey Report. And we're going to start it off here. Stephen Kilinian. Don't want to botch that one too bad, but he's from Quackstats. He's the man. You know him all the time on Twitter at Quackstats. We're taking his stuff. What is going on, man? How's it happening?
Hey, Cody. Thanks for having me on. Doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Anytime you get to talk hockey. Plus, we got a new team in the NHL. So, yeah, pretty thrilled about that. Now, I mean, we won't read off every single draft pick that Seattle had. I'm sure we'll touch on a few of them here and there. But I want to get your overall grading on Ron Francis today.
I think he did all right. You know, I don't want to be too harsh on him. You can see the direction he's looking for. He's not trying to build the next Vegas. He's doing his own kind of thing. So only time will tell. You know, he's going young. He's going flexible. He has a lot of cap space to work with. And he has a lot of options going into this offseason.
Obviously, the D is his strong suit here. And one guy we were talking about beforehand is Mark Giordano. How key is he going to be? Because he's past his prime. I think that's a pretty obvious answer. But again, you need a leader, especially when they drafted so many young players.
Exactly. I think that's exactly what they were going for. They know that he's probably not going to be there once all their players turn into, you know, NHL studs. So they're looking for somebody who's going to be there in this early stage to take them to that next step very early on. And I think that's a great choice. You know, Mark Giordano, he got drafted for the first time in his career, so that was good on him.
He's a great guy, you know? That's a great comment. I had a good chuckle at that. So, okay, I'm going to call you a Western kid. I mean, we call that stuff here. The Dub guys, you're out West as well. They really went heavy on those WHL kids. I mean, I'm not overly surprised, but I feel like there's also a different team makeup that you need in the Western Conference still. Did you see that with how they drafted, where maybe they shied away from a little bit of extra skill and went with some big, heavier guys?
Curtis McDermott from the LA Kings is a big one. You know, I really liked watching him. Him and Nicholas Deslauriers from the Ducks, they went at it a couple times every time Kings and Ducks would play. It became almost a tradition. They would just drop the gloves on site anytime they're on the ice together. And, you know, his analytics aren't too well, but he's the kind of player you need in the West especially.
You need some of that meat and potatoes, and they get it with Oleksiak too. I know they were joking he's the heaviest player in the league. I don't think he's got Reeves on that aspect. But again, you know, you bring in Adam Larson as well. Edmonton's arguably their best actual defender. I mean, I think he's better in his D zone than Darnell Nurse. That's not saying too much. But again, You bring in some pretty quality pieces. I guess I don't know if Larson's officially on the team yet. We might have to wait until like 1 o'clock today or something like that. But again, they're really building around that back end. One of the guys as well, and I know you've pumped his tires a little bit with Quack Stats, is Jeremy Lazat in Boston. I believe I saw a graphic a while ago with the Boston Bruins, and I think he's got some pretty good analytics. Maybe I'm completely wrong here, but I would beg to bet him right here. What's your thoughts on Lazana from Boston?
Yeah, I haven't seen him watch too much. I don't watch the East Coast as much unless, you know, playoff time comes around. But I think he's a pretty good kid, decent pick from them.
And they get Carson Soucy as well from Minnesota. And I remember seeing your graph with him. Yeah, I remember seeing your graph with Dumba, and you know, he wasn't far off. You know, he's a $2.75 million defenseman who's going to be able to fill a big role.
Yeah, I'm really big on him. I'm really big on the entire Minnesota Wild decor. You know, I looked at them and I saw, oh man, they're going to lose somebody big, you know. And I thought maybe he would be traded to a different team to avoid losing them, kind of like how McCann kind of wanted to be protected by Toronto, or not really. Didn't really pan out, but I thought maybe we could see a deal with Minnesota to protect one of those guys, but I guess it didn't happen.
Were you surprised that they went with Vince Dunn, sticking with the decor theme, out of St. Louis over Vlad Tarasenko?
That was my pick. Tarasenko's kind of risky, you know, and especially once you saw the kind of picks that Seattle was doing all throughout, like their kind of the team they were building. I think Vince Dunn made the most sense. Tarasenko, they can work out a trade if they really want him. I think he's still available to 31 teams. So I don't think that door is closed for Seattle if they really want to go for it.
Now, I'm going to argue with that, Stephen, and I want your thoughts here. Is Vincent Dunn more valuable than what you could get in a Vlad Tarasenko trade right now? Is he more than... Could you get a? I'm thinking you can get a first for Tarasenko. That's not anything crazy. A first and a good prospect. Is Vincent Dunn more valuable to your team on day one of the NHL season when you're Seattle, especially with how they built their team? They're not going to be that good right now as it stands. Is he more valuable than draft assets and prospects that you could get for Vlad Tarasenko?
Of course not. Of course not. I think Tarasenko is always going to be the guy you want, but the key is liquidity. You know, then if you take Tarasenko, then the onus is on you to flip Tarasenko if you don't want him on your team to get those assets. I don't think that comes easily, and I think the Blues were having a little bit of trouble getting rid of Tarasenko before the draft, so maybe Seattle saw that and say, hey, I don't want to have to deal with the issue of having to flip this, having to, you know, get assets for this, or having him on my team right now. And I'm not sure if that's the direction they want to go to. So I think just situation-wise, it makes sense to skip over Tarasenko right now.
That does make sense. And that's the thought in my mind. And I'm not going to take a shot at Russian mentality as much as, you know, maybe others will. But again, you see Washington had trouble. I mean, they would love to dish off Kuznetsov and Samsonov if they could, and they can't. People understand what they're getting. They're not fully checked in. They're not fully engaged. I don't think we see Tarasenko make an impact in the NHL ever again. That's that. And I get it. He's a great player. He's done. He's had his surgeries. He's going through his attitude issues right now. He's going to play a couple more years, get paid, get bought out, go back to the KHL. That's what I'm assuming. I don't know the guy. I'm not trying to take a shot at him personally. That's just my thoughts. And that's why his trade value is so low.
Yeah, it could be. And, you know, you say that about Tarasenko. I'm kind of thinking about Jack Eichel. He's a lot younger. He's a lot more talented. But, you know, the Ducks have been heavily linked with him, and that's kind of a risk you take with a guy. You know, you're not sure what a new environment will do to somebody. You don't know how they'll react mentally to it. And that's a risk that whoever takes Tarasenko will really – that's a risk that they'll have to go in knowing that he could not – be the same Tarasenko. He cannot be the same Jack Eichel he was before. So it's kind of high risk, high reward.
That's a fair way to
on the Russians too much, you know, Kucherov and Vasilevsky and Sergachev with the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, they were a big part of that cup, and you know, you saw the trio in Washington as well. the Russians, giving them a cup too. So you never know what you're going to get with the Russians, especially in this draft, the upcoming draft too. There's a couple of Russian names on there. You don't know where they're going to go. You don't know how big of a risk with Kaprizov too. You don't know what kind of risk people want to take.
So just after the bubble situation, and I was talking with an NHL scout, he's been doing it for 10 plus years. And I mean, his exact words were with Russians, they're high risk and they're high reward. But also when they're winning, they're the best. When they're losing, they're the worst.
Yeah.
It's very tough to find a consistent 10, 15 year NHL player that's Russian. I mean, when you think of it right now, you're thinking of Ovechkin. There's not many others that come to mind. So, hey, when you're winning, they're the best. When you're losing, you can't get rid of them quick enough. And that's, you know, that's not exactly my terms. That's coming from people who work in hockey ops. Now, I wanted to talk about the goaltending because this is one, Vanacek, Driedger, Decord. No way that's their trio going into opening day, is it?
Could be. Driedger's pretty good. Vanacek could be a good backup, maybe a starter. If you give him an opportunity, you never know what you're going to get. People thought Fleury was done in Pittsburgh, you know, when he wasn't even starting in the two cups they won. And now he's winning the Vezina. You never know what you're going to get with goaltending, especially how inconsistent some goalies are. It might as well be. I think they could give him a shot. Both of those kids deserve a shot, I believe. And then if halfway into the season, you know, it's not where they want to be, I think that's when Seattle looks to make a trade.
Now, Adam was getting into it with Sens fans, and this was, I mean, he took a little jab at Joey Decord. I think it's all fair. I didn't think he had that good of a season, and, you know, watching him, especially against Edmonton, those are the main games I got to see, and he got lit up. He did not look like an NHL-caliber goaltender. Sure, he finished with an 8.97. You can say, okay, that's average, but again, I don't see this being a backup goaltender in the NHL for a long period of time. Maybe he develops into it. I get it. He's still got some time. And then with Vanacek, at best, you're maybe getting a 1B. You're maybe getting a Peter Mrazek. I don't see much more happening for that. Obviously, Washington had all their eggs in a basket with Samsonov. So as soon as they could get Vanacek out of the net, well, once he pulled his groin, I guess. But, you know, they're... I haven't seen enough from Vanacek to make me think that, hey, this is a guy with starter potential at the National Hockey League. And then for Driedger, I mean, we're talking about a guy who was playing in the coast a few years ago. You know, yeah, he's had a couple of, you know, good stints. So did Andrew Hammond. You know, I'm not saying he's that bad by any means. But again, he played 23 games last year. They didn't trust him in playoffs. They went with Spencer Knight and Bobrovsky over him. They did everything in their power not to play Chris Driedger in playoffs. That's what gives me red flags when it comes to him.
I mean, Florida wasn't in there too long, right? How many games did they play? Six against Tampa?
Well, no, I know, and I understand that. But again, if this is a guy who they're going, hey, he has full NHL starter potential, this is the guy we need between the pipes to win a hockey game, they would go with him. I get it. Bobrovsky's the experienced option. But then you've got Spencer Knight, a kid who was playing in the World Juniors at Christmas time, and they're going, do we put the guy who had a 930 in the regular season in, or do we put in this kid who's played four NHL games? I don't know. Something doesn't sit right with me there, Steven.
Yeah, you never know. I think once you put him in the position, you know, once you give him the confidence, you never know how he's going to react.
Stephen Cleveland here from Quackstats.
I don't do any analysis on goalies. I stay far away from goalies. It's so hard to predict goalies.
That's fair. Now, I unfortunately wore the pads growing up, played a little bit myself, so I'm probably the harshest critic on them. Again, I mean, if I'm not being fair, someone hop in the chat. Let me know. Someone give us a comment at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Janner31. Stephen Klinian, my guest here, Quackstats founder. The best, the web app is out as well. Check it out. Stephen, now when we look at forwards, you kind of brought up McCann as well. And, you know, I think Kyle Dubas kind of had a genius move there. He gave up, what, Philip Hallander so that he could keep his roster the same? That's a move that probably doesn't get the praise it deserves.
Yeah, I guess I think that was plan B. I think, you know, to get a Jared McCann of on a deal like that, I think you'd be better off to keep him, you know. I think with Fleury too, everybody's giving Bonnery kind of like a slack for losing Fleury, even though we gave up Yanni Hakkapa, who's like a free agent now in a sixth, I think, or sixth or seventh. And so like, oh, we gave up a sixth to not have anybody take it on our team, you know. And it would be a lot better if we re-signed Yanni Hakkapa as a free agent, since like, oh, we didn't lose anything. But, you know, once you make the trade, you got to lose somebody. But to lose Jared McCann, I think you could have done a little better there.
Was there anyone, and I saw your Quack Stats breakdown on Instagram at @Quack_stats, and you really broke it down to some of the top available players. Was there a couple of guys who you thought maybe would have gone? I know, I think Schwartz might be a UFA. I remember him being on the list there. You had Eberle up high. You had McCann up high. Like, those guys obviously went. Was there someone who you thought should have gone and didn't?
I think Zadorov from Chicago, that would have fit their mold, especially what they were trying to do with the decor. A little bit bigger on the cap space, but I think they should have taken him.
So Brandon Tanev goes from Pittsburgh as well. And this is a guy who, when he signed his deal, it was deemed questionable. People were ripping on him. You don't sign a third liner to a 6-7 year deal. Now people kind of see that in value, and I think this is an energy forward that Seattle's going to have to not build their offense around, but again, as a forward group, they're not a skilled bunch. They're going to have to be a hardworking team similar to Vegas, and without Vegas's skill, which they didn't have that much of.
Right. And I think another person they could sign is Tampa's third line too. They have two free agents. They have Yanni Gourde there too. And I think if you throw in either Barclay Goudreau or who's other, Blake Coleman, you know, they're both free agents too. If you throw in one of them to the mix, that's a solid third line, assuming Yanni Gourde plays with them.
That's fair. Obviously, we got to see and wait and see what the doctor says on him. Sounds like Barclay Goudreau is pretty close to a deal with the Rangers.
Yeah, I heard that.
I mean, until pen hits paper, I still think anything could be free game. Now, Colorado, they lose Donskoy in this. And this is a guy who, I mean, you would have watched him in San Jose as well, has a fair amount of potential, but didn't really fit what Colorado was looking for. And I get it. It's a disappointing playoffs for them. They don't even make the conference final. Is Donskoy the right fit in Seattle? What did they see in him? Do they think they can bring back the old Donskoy, who played with some pretty damn good players in San Jose? Or is this just going to be a flop and it'll cost him $4 million?
Yeah, I think Donskoy, that whole San Jose team that made it to the finals that year, they outperformed how themselves, you know, they really stepped up. And I don't think they were... They were the same San Jose team of like the past years, who actually might have been more deserving to play in the finals. So I think Donskoy might be on the decline here. Didn't prove too much in Colorado. New team, new environment. Like I said a couple times, you know, it could really change a player. But hoping for the best for him, obviously.
So there's one other guy I want to ask about, and I know he plays on the East, and that's Yarncroft. You know, this is a guy who, you know, he's a pretty versatile forward. I think he does take some draws. I know he can play on the wing as well. When you slot him into the lineup, are we thinking he's a second liner on this team? Because if that's where it is, obviously you've got a $2 million forward on your second line, but they don't have the depth up front. They're going to have to do something.
Yeah, they got the cap space to do so. It's going to be really weird to see what lines they come up with. This team could look a lot different than how we imagine them right now. And that's just because they gave themselves the flexibility to make these changes. You don't know who's going to still be in Seattle. You don't know who's going to be brought in. So to say a second line, that's really hard to say right now at this point, I don't think.
Okay, well, we're keeping you late anyway, so I might as well ask a bunch more questions while I got you here. This is all regarding Quack Stats stuff. And of course, everyone go check out Quack Stats. The web app is out today on Instagram @Quack_stats. Now, you brought up two young guns who aren't available, and you put these as the two best players that they could have, or I guess, that they could pick if they were available, and that's Trevor Zegras and Jason Robertson. Now, I want your take. Give me a take on both of these. Where do we see these two players go next year? Because, I mean, Zegras is an absolute weapon, and Jason Robertson kind of came out of nowhere. I think if you ask the average hockey fan, they had no clue who he was before last year.
Yeah, no, I was really big fan of him at the World Juniors when he played. He was really flashy. He didn't put up the goals, he didn't put up the assists, but he was a really flashy player at the World Juniors, and he had his breakthrough season, which really good to see. You know, two American young players up there. It makes me really proud to see those guys. But Jason Robinson, I think he deserved the Calder. Being compared to a 24-year-old who's played pro for how many years in the Russia League, I think that's just not fair to have that sort of players in the same bucket. I think he becomes an all-star next year. And Zegras, I'm hoping for the best. You know, that's my guy. That's who our franchise is going to be based off. I wouldn't want him touched for anybody in the league. You know, Connor McDavid, you know, I wouldn't take that trade for Zegras just because that's our guy. You know, we've watched him. You know, if that's a heart decision. That's not a brain decision. That's not analytics. That's just the passion of a fan. You know, at the end of the day, I'm a fan too. And those two guys are probably going to be all-stars next year. Maybe Zegras might need a little bit more time because he's a center. But if you surround him with the right players, surround him with the right, you know, coach, I think he could be an all-star. Maybe not this year, but the year after, hopefully.
Now, I forgot to ask this when talking about the Seattle Kraken expansion. What was your thoughts on Vegas being exempt? Because I think that's a crock. That's a joke. How are they exempt from the next expansion? It doesn't make sense.
I don't know when that rule was put into place. Maybe during the Vegas expansion, you know, maybe those talks were already being had with Bettman. You know, everybody knew there wasn't going to be 31 teams in the league. You know, it's got to be either 30 or 32. So maybe that was already in place, kind of an agreement. Yeah, we're not going to expose you guys. And nobody knew they were going to be this good. So that's why I'm thinking that rule was put into place well before we saw how good Vegas can be. But if that rule was made this year or like currently, I don't think that's fair at all. You know, I had the list of the top 10 guys who were exempt, and three of them were Vegas's top line. And those were the only grown men in there.
Yeah, and you would assume your Stones, your Pantrettis, your Stevensons would have had to be protected. But I think of the goaltending front. Would they have saved Leonard or Fleury? Would they have had to make a deal for that? What would they have had to give up for that? There's so many question marks, and yeah, it rubs me the wrong way. And I think it was agreed upon when they, you know, first bought the franchise was, hey, when we go to 32 teams, you're not going to lose anyone. But again, I don't know. I think that now once we saw how they built the team, if the NHL goes back, no chance they give them exemption on the draft. Now, I want to talk about a couple of free agents. You got Zach Hyman, who's looking at a 7x5.5. I believe, or if Toronto wants to do a sign and trade, you're looking at an 8.5. Are you high on this player? Do you think he's going to make an immediate impact on a team like Edmonton? Or do you think it's going to be a contract they're going to regret down the road?
I like Hyman. You know, he put up some pretty good numbers. He had really good analytics as well. But he was playing with Marner and Matthews. That's kind of the big, you know, asterisk on his numbers. I would want him to prove himself first. If I was making that call, I would want him to prove himself, maybe have a bridge deal and then get the long-term contract. If you see him as a, you know, a future, somebody to build a team with, you know.
It's just tough giving a bridge contract to someone in their late 20s. I find that, you know, I get it. He doesn't want to accept it. So maybe he would take a little bit less for that term. And everyone knows term is power. I mean, look at Suter, look at Parise. You know, they're set for life. They're laughing right now. They got their term. They got their buyout. And I think teams do kind of plan for that now, where the Oilers are going to be like, hey, if we have to buy him out in year 6 or 7, that's something we're going to seriously have to look at. Now, give me a number on Gabe Landeskog. What do you think he comes in at term and money-wise?
Probably around the $6-7 million mark, I would think, Gabriel Landeskog. I'm pretty big on him as well. You know, he's a solid two-way. I think he's kind of the guy that allows MacKinnon to be MacKinnon, the Rantanen to be Rantanen. You know, he kind of does all the dirty work on that line. he's a leader as well. You know, you can't ignore that aspect of his game as well. He plays with a lot of passion.
I think he does get 7 if he goes back to Colorado, but I also think that him and his agent are saying, hey, you're one of the best or most respected leaders in the game right now. Let's try for 9-10. Let's see if Seattle was willing to go for it. And I think that was their swing and miss. I think they were thinking, let's see if Detroit, let's see if Seattle, you know, I don't think Arizona's going to be spending any cap space. But again, I think they were saying, hey, if we can get 10 or 9 on the open market on a 6-year deal, I'm sorry, Colorado. Maybe they're not as close to winning as a cup as we think.
I think the best fit for him would be the New York Islanders, honestly. He just kind of fits that mold perfectly, and I don't think they give him 9-10.
He's not a goal scorer, though, and that's what they need. They need someone who can put the biscuit in the basket. And, I mean, Lou knows that as well as anyone. It probably didn't work out that New Jersey trade last year as well as they would have hoped. But I still think now that you take Eberle off the books, you got a free 5.5 there. Do they push for Tarasenko? Do they try get St. Louis to retain some salary? I don't know. I feel like there's multiple options for them to look at. Landeskog's not that pure goal scorer that I see them needing. They've got the leaders already in place for the Isles. Maybe I'm way off. I don't know. I'm going to give you a pick one or the other here, A or B. I want Seth Jones or Dougie Hamilton. Who do you like?
Dougie Hamilton. Yeah, without a doubt, Dougie Hamilton.
Wrong.
No?
Wrong.
You're a big Seth Jones guy?
I don't know. And see, here's where I come into it. And the analytics people, they hate World Hockey Report for this. But I mean, from the eye test, I would want Seth Jones on my team. This is a guy who can play 55 minutes in a hockey game that goes 5 overtimes, and he makes it look effortless. He's just so good. He can play in all situations. He can play a consistent 26 a night. Like, this is just your dream defenseman when you think about it. Cutting down to 4 D-men in the third period, not an issue in the world if it's Seth Jones who you're paired up with.
Do you think Dougie Hamilton, that's going to be an issue for Dougie Hamilton, though? I think he could be that guy, too. You know, I think Columbus played him that much out of necessity. You know, he did play well in those big playoff runs, you know, with when he was logging heavy minutes. But, you know, what has he done the past couple of years? I don't want to bash on the guy, but Dougie Hamilton, I think, is a really big stud. So
I think Hamilton's good. I'm not saying, like, oh, I don't want Dougie Hamilton on my team. What I'm saying is I would rather have Seth Jones. And there's also a part of me, and again, I don't want to judge anyone's character. I don't want to start any rumors. I don't know Dougie Hamilton. But for him to be dished around to so many teams and for Carolina to say, hey, go talk to other ones. I mean, you know, that's like your girlfriend saying, hey, let's take a break. Go talk to whoever you want. And if you think about coming back, we'll consider you. That's how serious they are about Dougie Hamilton. So what happened? What goes through their mind? What makes them say, if you leave, I don't give a damn?
I think it's just disappointment from the playoffs. You know, I had them really as one of my sleepers, as, you know, who could really make a cup run. So I think they're just in an emotional shock right now. A couple teams, you know, Colorado too, not giving Landeskog the kind of respect he deserves. But that's what happens when you get out of the playoffs, you know, second round, when you're expected to go a little bit further, at least.
They don't have the goaltending to do it. So, again, a lot of people did choose him as their sleeper. I don't see it. Unless we see the big 4 goaltenders who make it to the conference final. Semyon Varlamov's the worst, and Varlamov is a starter on 80% of the NHL teams. You know, he's that good of a goaltender. So, and he was the worst of the 4 by far. I don't even think it's a question. He was the worst goalie in the conference finals, and that's still a pretty damn good starter. Now, I got one more player to ask you about before we dive into Quack Stats. I got questions about that still. But again, Duncan Keith comes to Edmonton. He's not going to be expected to be the number one guy in Edmonton. I think it's going to be a good fit for him. That's what Oilers fans don't quite understand. It sucks they lose Adam Larson on that second pairing. But again, I mean, I want your thoughts on Keith. Is this the right move?
Yeah, I'm really big on Duncan Keith. A little bit from nostalgia too. I remember him tearing my Ducks up, you know, year after year, when we were both in the, like up there. But Duncan Keith was still the main guy in Chicago. You have to understand that he was being taxed a lot, you know, playing heavy PK minutes, playing heavy, you know, top line, I guess, top line opposition. I don't think he'll see that in Edmonton. I think they'll shield him, they'll protect him a little bit more, and he'll be, you know, second, third line pair, probably a second pair guy for sure. He'll get less minutes, and I think for him at his age, you know, that's the kind of environment he needs to be in. He can't be, you know, carrying a team to the playoffs, you know, and trying to at least, he needs to be kind of like a luxury, not a necessity kind of guy.
From a leadership standpoint, he's huge as well. That's one of the things that I like most about him. Now, hey, I want to dive into Quackstats a little bit. Stephen Kalinda, my guest here, Quackstats founder. And I want to talk about it because it's an analytics platform that, you know, obviously I use, where I'm looking at something and I'm going, hey, I can't understand all these wacky charts, all these crazy things. So break it down for me how you really came about this being like, I want to provide quality information that's simple to understand, and it's not too in-depth, but it also gives you a very good breakdown of every team's roster and their players.
Yeah, so actually the reason I had a lot of time in college, a lot of free time for a bit. At that point, I wasn't able to play hockey anymore. So I still wanted to do something. You know, I still have love for the game. So I decided to go into analytics. And I didn't like Corsi at all. Corsi was a big thing back then. Now we have a lot more like expected goals, you know, stuff like that, where there's a lot more context added to the analysis. But Corsi was kind of like a blind, you know, number being given to players. And I really had a problem with that. So I wanted to make kind of like an analytics that gave a little bit more context, a little bit more storyline behind it. I want to tell a story with the analytics. So I think that's what my app is really trying to do, both my apps. It kind of tells a story. So there's three big pieces at the top. You got the, you know, a scatter plot with all the players, and it's really how much time they spent on the ice and what impact they had while they were on the ice. And there's no like shots, like Corsi, there's nothing like that. It's just goals and time. You know, how much time did it take for their team to score when they were on the ice, and how long could they play without giving up a goal? And that's just the basic fundamentals behind it. And everything is kind of based from that, you know, source. And it's really just a storyline from there.
So how I see it and why I like it, I guess, when we're talking about Quackstats here, is that I'm definitely an eye test person. I fully admit that, where I'm going, hey, my first thought on a guy is, what have I seen from them recently? And it's not, what have I read about them recently? But when it comes to Quackstats, I'm going, hey, I got to watch this player. How effective is his team when he's on the ice? It's not exactly, oh, who's he up against? How many times did they have a clean breakout? How many times did they do this? It's no, if it's 5-on-5, you know, how's his team doing? Are they scoring when he's on the ice? What's his power play effectiveness? How much time is he getting on the power play versus penalty kill? That's what I like about the breakdowns. And so kind of talk a little bit about that and just, you know, just how your line system works, essentially, where it's a standard graph. It's easy for anyone to read. You don't have to have, you know, an IQ of a million to understand this.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was shooting for. I was shooting for simplicity. You know, it takes a little bit of time to understand what's going on just because there's a lot of things being thrown at you. But it's really, I think it's pretty simple to, once you get a basic understanding, to kind of, you know, go further and further, go deeper and deeper. And it's all based on the eye test. It's all based on, you know, goals. You know, like, it's not based on shots. It's not based off zone exits. And before I released Quackstats to the public for a year, I held it in just to make sure it passed the eye test. I was using my Ducks. I watched the Ducks and the Kings the most. And I did an eye test for a whole year. I was like, does this pass? Is this reflective of what's going on with my teams? And I felt so, like, yes, it did. Yeah, this was accurately reflecting everything I was watching. So that's why I went ahead and felt confident to, you know, show this information, spread this information to others.
So I know when you first approached me, we kind of looked into it and we spent about a month or so. You're like, watch the Oilers and tell me how accurate these Oilers, you know, the quack stats that you're showing me reflect their play. And it was bang on. It was the guys who you're like, wow, they're having a really good impact. Your Darnell Nurses, who are having a great season. Your Leon Draisaitls, obviously Connor McDavid. The guys you expect to see at the top, they were right there. And then you see, oh, you know, maybe a William Legison struggled. Well, he's down here. It's like, oh, that's exactly what we've seen in the first 2 weeks. And it's just bang on, man. That's what I can say about Quack Stats is it's what you're watching. It all relates. And maybe that's because I'm trying to see it. I don't think that's the case. So I think I'm saying, hey, this person looks good on the power play. What are his numbers like? Maybe it's just swimming over to Quack Stats, see if we can get a little bit of a read on who's effective, who's not. I want to check out Caleb Jones. I want to see how his effectiveness is. And it breaks down everyone. That's what I like, is you go through, you know, from fourth, fifth liners to your third, fourth pair of D-men.
Yeah, my favorite part is the trend analysis that I have. That's the one I use the most. I don't think that one gets enough recognition from the analytics community. But I haven't seen this idea anywhere, but I really liked it. You know, you see a guy's total for the season, and you don't really have a story of what happened in the season. Where a guy like Henrique, who had a lot of ups and downs for the Ducks, you know, I looked at his trend graph, and it was spot on. You know, he had kind of a dip. He got put on waivers, and you could see his dip. And then he came back, and, you know, he reacted to that. He took it personally, and he made, for like about a month, you know, he really picked up his game, and then it kind of died down. And that's exactly the curves, like the trends you see. You see, you know, this month he was doing all right. And then, you know, later in the season, this happened. And, you know, you get a whole story with that. And that's what I really like.
Yeah, the trend recognition is awesome. We already brought up Zach Hyman, and with his, you could clearly see maybe a little bit of who he was playing with, but also his confidence levels at times. I feel like his peaks and valleys were definitely a drastic one where you consider, this is a player who is a go-getter. And if you put him with the right players, he's going to be an effective top six forward. And if you don't, he's not going to be that guy. So I think that trend is perfect. Any last things you got to plug? Anything we want to, you know, spill coming up here for Quack Stats or what? I know I've kept you for 40 minutes now, opted out of commercial breaks and everything.
No, all good. I want to talk a little bit about the draft, too. I want to pump the tires of your WHL beauty, Dylan Gunther. I think the Ducks should be looking to get him third overall. I think if Matt Beniers is available. I think if Beniers is available, then boom, just like that, you know, Jack Eichel's on a plane with a luggage full of sunscreen, you know. I think that's who Buffalo is looking for to make that trade with Anaheim. I think they want Eklund first overall, and then Beniers third overall. And I think if they get that, then a deal could be done without Zegras and without Drysdale being touched.
The Eklund hype gets me, because Owen Power, and especially watching him in the World Championships, this could be a franchise-changing defenseman, and everyone knows you need good defensemen to win in the playoffs. The fact that people are considering passing on him, that's crazy. I do like Gunther, though, and he plays right here in Edmonton. I mean, with the Oil Kings, awesome forward. I love his style, and I think his style would fit perfectly with the Zegras. I'm telling you. Yeah. I think those two could click down the road. Give them, you know, 3 years to mature a little bit.
Yeah, that would be my dream pick. I think Anaheim, on a need basis, they have a lot of D coming up, especially. So I think they're going to pass on Owen Powers. They might take Edvinson too. I know that's a mold that fits Bob Murray's kind of, you know, player that he's looking for. He's Swedish. Bob Murray loves his Swedes. He's big old defenseman, you know.
I think teams are gonna, if you pass on Owen Power though, I think you're gonna regret it. I mean, this is a big D man who can skate, can play power play, can play penalty kill, has a little bit of maturity coming through the college ranks. I don't know. When I think of impactful D men, he's right up there with your Bowen Byrams. I won't go as far as a Cale Makar, but again, he's going to step into a top four role in the NHL next year.
I think the only fear with him is, you know, the team he was playing on, it's really hard to tell who's the big impact there. Is it Beniers? Is it him? Is it, I think they had another top 10 prospect in there on that team as well.
Kent.
Yeah, Kent Johnson, right? Yeah, I don't watch too much college hockey, so I can't think too much. But you know, it's really hard to kind of say, oh man, he was the big impact player on that team, or he was, or you know, have that kind of sort of debate. So I think that's the fear with him.
Well, bro, I appreciate you taking the time. I got to crush out segments here in the last 15 minutes, so I got to hit a commercial break. Steven, man, appreciate you. All the breakdowns, that's awesome. Keep it rolling with Quack Stats. You're the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Have a good one.
Right there. Quack Stats founder, Steven Kalinia, coming here on World Hockey Report. We got to step aside. We are way past a commercial break. It's Cody Jansen with you on 12 Ounce Sports. Cody Jansen with you, World Hockey Report, presented by Lordco Auto Parts, your one-stop car and truck parts and accessories store. Our last guest, Steven Kalinia from Quack Stats, brought to you by Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. Not looking for a heavy drink in this beautiful summer weather. I see the sun shining again. It's awesome out there. Coco Vodka hits different, refreshingly different. Coco Vodka and Rum, new tall cans there in Canada. Flavors are coming next. They're already in the States. It looks incredible. I got a taste test. Don't tell anyone, though, but it was great. Enjoy the Coco life with us. High-quality ingredients, no fillers, no beer bloat, no cheap liquor. Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. You will not be disappointed. And, of course, shout-out to our friends at Pro Rock Hockey Sticks for some NHL news coming up here. You want the best wing in the game at the best price? Pro Rock Hockey Sticks, they've got you covered. Check them out today, prorock.com. That's P-R-O-R-O-C-C. .com. Got to struggle and follow them on social media as well. Hop in the chat. Let us know your thoughts. Seattle Kraken draft, some upcoming signings. Alex Micheletti's in here already. Morning, buddy. What's going on? Hashtag free 10K. I should have had that up on screen here. I got to do that. I got to talk with producer James and get that one. Free 10K. That's got to go up on the screen. And I do got to break down some NHL news here for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks before I get into your thoughts. There's a lot of them coming in hot and heavy on Twitter. Let us know. Kraken signings, whatever you're thinking about. For the Rangers, Barkley Gaudreau, they traded for his rights, obviously. And right now he's looking at a $3.6 million deal. 6 years per Elliot Freeman right there. Boston, they're closing in on Taylor Hall. It's going to be about approximately 4 years, $6 million. So that's $24 million total, if my math serves me right. Quick thinking. Yes, that's perfect. Edmonton, they're going to lock up 39-year-old, or maybe he's 40, Mike Smith, 2 years at $2 million. He was one of the best goaltenders in the league last year, but you need to find another guy. If you go into the season with Koskinen and Smith, we got a lot of conversations coming, Edmonton, but $2 million locked up into Mike Smith. He's going to be the sixth oldest player in the NHL, I think. Maybe. Depends, I guess, who comes back. If Marlow, Chara, those guys come back, he could be one of the oldest. He could be one of the oldest for sure. And then Adam Larson, he'll be signing a 4x4 in Seattle. He just chose that. He just said, hey, I don't see Edmonton winning anytime soon. Get me a change of scenery. I want out. He went through a lot in Edmonton. He had his tragic incident. You know, there's so many things that lead to it. Everyone speaks highly of Adam Larson. And end of the day, he just doesn't want to be in Edmonton. I think you have to accept that fact that some guys don't want to be in certain situations. Alex chimed in again. Could Buffalo be handling this Eichel situation any worse? No, they couldn't. I mean, when it comes down to team doctors, you've seen how big of a gong show that can be with Vlad Tarasenko. And so for Buffalo, they're just killing Jack Eichel's value right now. They are not doing him any favors. We got to get him out to the West Coast. As Steven said, our last guest, let's get him in Anaheim. Let's get him playing with Zegras. Let's get him on this nasty power place. You got the defenseman kid there, Drysdale. Let's get him on a team with some potential. I'm sorry, Delaney's not that guy. Sam Reinhart's not that guy. They don't have a team that's anywhere close to winning. A couple other news points here from Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. The trade freeze, that's going to be lifted at 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, 1 o'clock Pacific. Are we going to see some side deals? There has to be. there has to be stuff that's released. Also, shout out to Frank Saravalli. He just absolutely ruined the NHL's day, pretty much leaked every single pick. I love it. What's the NHL doing? What did they think was going to happen? Having them submit their player list 10 hours before this live show, that's supposed to be an unveiling. Do they not know what Twitter is or social media, how big it is? Do they not know who the insiders in the league are? That's just terrible planning. That's horrible planning. So I don't know what the NHL expected with that. Maybe they'll learn. It's kind of like Schefter ruining the NFL draft. They have to learn. It's got to be submitted seconds, minutes before. Or you just do it live on air. I don't know. You got to figure out a better way if you don't want situations like this to happen. And maybe they do want situations like this to happen because they know people are going to be talking about it all day and it's going to get more eyes on the show. Maybe. I didn't watch it. I saw some of the ESPN clips. It's funny. Call a team the Carolina Panthers. That's a hot start for ESPN. But again, I don't know what the NHL's goal is by having teams submit the, you know, their selected players 10 hours before. There was no way it wasn't getting leaked. And also NHL schedule, that's going to be released tonight, I believe, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's about 4 if you're in the Mountain Standard Time, 3 if you're on the Pacific. It's going to include an Olympic break. Excited to see that. I think that's the appropriate thing. Will they actually go, though? That's a whole nother question. And so we put a poll at World Hockey RPT. So far, 62% of you have said yes. 38% say no. I'm leaning towards the no. I don't want to be a pessimist. That's just my honest thoughts. I don't think they go to the Olympics. Back to signing news now. Zach Hyman. He's working out a deal, Edmonton, Toronto. Who knows where it ends up, but right now it's looking like if it's a 7-year deal, it's going to be worth about $5.5 million. If it's an 8-year deal, it's going to be $5 million. So that would require a trade and sign. Maybe Edmonton sends him a 5th, 6th? I'm not sure. How deep can you get it? Can you get away as a 7th? I don't think so. I think that probably, unless they're going to do him a favor and say, hey, you got to get our backs down the road. Maybe they do that. I really don't think that's going to happen, though. So, yeah, I mean, even this is per LeBron here. 8 years. Might have to give up an asset. I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it. Maybe you just wait it out. Give them the extra $500K. Let me know your thoughts anytime at World Hockey RPT on Twitter. I also wanted to know some of your thoughts on the Kraken. Adam's asking about, hey, alternatives to Zach Hyman. Stop complaining. You need to win. You need to do something. And, I mean, I'm sorry, but forwards aren't the issue on this team. Now you lose Adam Larson and you bring in Duncan Keith. You probably don't have Tyson Barrie next season. The back end is what needs work on this Oilers team. We've talked about it for 5 years. I don't know when they're going to figure it out, but it's got to be sooner rather than later. I also asked you some hot takes. Seattle Kraken, how are they going to finish this season? So I'll rip through some of your answers quickly here. Michael Kaplan said they're constructed like a team that can make a playoff run, but lack the scoring right now to get them there. I fully believe that. He also brings up the cap space. They almost got $30 million in cap space. What will they do with that? Alex, I'm not going to pronounce your last name. I'm sorry, bud. Worse than Vegas in their first season. I think that's a given. Come on. Come on, Alex. Hit me with the better hot takes. Brad Erdman, best team to miss the playoffs in the Left Conference. Left Conference? Western Conference? Pacific Division? Whatever you want to call it. Yemnek says, depends on what they do in UFA. I just believe he means free agency period. But my guess is mid 80 points, miss the playoffs, but competitive. If they can somehow get a true 1C, I think they can get into the postseason. Long term looks good, though. Can Yanni Gourde be that 1C? Could he? Maybe. I don't know. I don't. Who else? They might land. Landeskog, that ain't no 1C. That's not a dead set face-off guy. Barrett says dead last, as does Stephen Gilbert. Word for word, those two are on the same page. I don't know. Again, give us your thoughts. And we'll talk to RPT on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Janner31. Also, this was funny from last night. Coland from Shaunavon, Saskatchewan. Adam tweeted it out. Credit goes to him. Nothing more than small town Saskatchewan people hate than you know, just picking the nearest big city, big center, and be like, oh, he's from Swift Current. That's a no-no. That's a no-no in Saskatchewan. You got to stop that ASAP as possible. I appreciate Stephen Killian coming on the show here. Be sure to download the podcast, the Hockey Podcast Network. If you're going to bet, and I mean baseball, football is coming up, mybookie.ag, use promo code 12OZSports, all caps, no spaces. If you need smelling salts, everyone knows support Canadian Billy's Smelling Salts. Use promo code WHR, 10% off. Shopbillies.co, promo code WHR. And you already know what it is. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Follow Lord Co. Parts on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or learn more at lordco.com. That's going to do it for me. I'm pumped. We got the schedule coming out tonight. Hockey's coming back. Seattle's got a team. Everything is fine in the world. Of course, if you are going to be downloading the podcast, maybe you won't be watching it. But tonight, more lacrosse. Shout out Rebels calling the games here. Loving it. We got Tier 1 lacrosse all week on 12-Ounce Sports. The absolute best. More great shows to get you through the week. Next, I'm out.